Books of the Bible. Nehemiah is the continuing story of exiles returning from Babylonian captivity. In this book, the people rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and renew the covenant under the leadership of Nehemiah. Despite opposition, the wall is rebuilt in 52 days, and it's perceived as a work wrought by God. God will bless that work which brings him honor. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got a bad feeling about this. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, that's by AI.
Yes, that's by AI.
A year or two ago. I'm sitting here in my sound folder. I hit the play button and it's singing. The title of it is Wretched Radio. So you asked AI to, how much did you have to prompt it?
I don't remember. I think I gave it a lot of things, and I had it write the song, and then I went to an AI song generator to sing it.
Because you don't really, if you've got a lot of stuff even out on the internet, you don't need to tell it. So for instance, if you wanted to write a song about the Sean Hannity program, you wouldn't need to explain what you were looking for because it's got so much stuff out there.
Right.
They'd write a song about Sean Hannity, something about being agitated about everything. The point is, this is what they came up with for Wretched Radio.
Uh-huh.
I think this might hurt.
Every day we tune in to a show that's truly grand. With Todd and Jimmy guiding us through this sinful land.
Oh, let's see there, Dad. No. No, we're not. That's dumb.
From the streets on Wednesday to the mailbag every week, we learn to preach the gospel strong to the humble and the meek.
And the voice actually sounds pretty real.
Yeah, kind of.
Process, but it's, you know, pretty real sounding.
Oh, Richard Radio.
Brother.
Where truth is boldly told.
That sounds like kind of 90s Christian contemporary.
Preach the gospel, teach the way, let the message unfold. Strengthen the local church, it's our favorite thing to do.
Strengthen the local church?
Yeah, it's our favorite thing to do.
That's good.
With Todd and Jimmy leading us, we'll see it all come true.
I'm not sure I'm leading anybody.
And this is the same software pastor that's going to write your sermon? Oh, I think not. Up, bridge, kind of catchy.
Witness Wednesdays out there, evangelizing the lost, with live encounters, sharing faith, whatever be the cost. And Fridays, we answer questions.
Nope, we are doing that all week. Welcome back to Wretched Radio. Send your questions, comments, enough of that. Questions, comments. I couldn't even get... Did we get to the bridge?
I don't know.
Typically, you got to be there by a minute.
Yeah.
That's the songwriting rule. That's as much as we can get, 59 seconds. Please send your whatever to idea@wretched.org, or please feel free to text away to 877-282-2337 as we continue Mailbag Week on Wretched Radio.
This is from Joseph. Todd, if I remember correctly.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, if I remember correctly.
You started this.
Two years ago. Todd, if I remember correctly, you said that babies that pass for various reasons, such as miscarriage or the baby was born as a stillborn, go to heaven. Does that mean that they're perfect?
Oh. In heaven? Yes. Does that mean? No, it doesn't. Now, babies are born with a sin nature. The difference between a baby and somebody who is able to know that they are sinning willfully is knowledge. And so we call it typically the term that evangelicals have adopted, and I don't think it's a bad term, is an age of accountability. I think level of accountability is an even better word, because age indicates, what is it, 7, 9, 12? What are we talking about here? Because everybody's maturation process is different. The difference between a baby who dies, who doesn't believe in Jesus, and a 40-year-old who dies and doesn't believe in Jesus is that the 40-year-old has been sinning willfully for years. A baby has no rap sheet, has no criminal record. That does not mean, however, that they're not totally depraved. The difference is they aren't exercising it willfully, and therefore they don't have a debt to God. Therefore, when they die, they're ushered into the presence of King Jesus. He is the one who is responsible for their salvation. But even though they couldn't exercise saving faith, simultaneously, they couldn't exercise damning sin. Therefore, Jesus takes them to heaven. That was the tweet right there. That was it right there. They don't exercise saving faith, but they haven't exercised damning sin. I think I like that.
I'm keeping that one. I'm glad you said it again.
Yep, for the future, because that I think that summarizes it right there. That means if you've had a miscarriage, that means if you've lost a child, however that happened, you can look forward to seeing your baby in heaven. And I state that with a great deal of confidence. I think the Bible screams it in over 20 verses that point toward the kindness of God in saving babies, because even though they don't have saving faith, they haven't committed damning sin. Trademarked right there. 877-282-2337.
If you say it three times, it's copyrighted.
Well, Rick Warren got purpose. He tried to. Do you know that?
Did he really?
Yeah, I think so.
He tried to trademark the word
purpose.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, he got purpose driven. Well, that's his book. That's his intellectual property. So he can trademark that if he wants to, but not the word purpose.
No.
It would be like me trademarking the word serve. Because it's in my next book, Go Serve Your King.
Right.
Well, I'm afraid you can't do that, son. That's kind of, we all own that word, not you.
That's right. All right. This is from Steve. Todd, I've been a Christian for a few decades, but my current problems have me bamboozled. I am retired, but can hardly participate in any ministry opportunities due to severe sciatica. I want to do more, but everything is painful, so I do nothing. And because of that, my soul is withering away. What can I do?
You can still do stuff, Steve. You can. You can talk. You can type. That means you can pray a lot. I really do think I've been giving this some thought because I think we have a propensity to say to young people, you would do well to spend a day in the house of mourning, and much better than a day in the house of celebration. In other words, it's better to go to a funeral than to a wedding because you learn more. And we try to encourage young people, hey, think about your death. I think we did that 2 weeks ago. Think about your death. That was the thrust, I think, of Psalm 73. Think about your death. It'll help you with your sins. It'll help you with your emotions. It'll help you with your decisions. Think about your death, young person. Well, I don't think we should stop doing that, because I think the more time we spend pondering it, the better prepared we'll be. I know, just my personality bent, sitting in a wheelchair in an assisted care facility, that's going to be hard. It's going to be frustrating. And so I better prepare for that. I better prepare, I think, for two things. And Steve, I can think of three ways for you, Steve. Two, if you're sitting in an assisted care facility. Number one, prepare to pray. I know that praying is hard. We do need more prayer warriors. We really do. And I wonder if seniors could fill that role. Doesn't mean the rest of us are let off the hook, but just because of limitations, that is definitely something you can do, and it's so important that you do that. Second, you can evangelize. You can do it on the internet. You can do it with the people that you meet, depending on your ability, if you can get out at all, the people who visit. Be an evangelist. If you're in an assisted care facility, this was actually, I think she meant it as a joke, but it was really comforting when Mrs. Friel said, oh, I can just see you in a nursing home in a wheelchair. You're just going to be cornering people. Would you consider yourself to be a good person? I had to do that without my teeth.
Over applesauce.
Over. with cinnamon. You can witness to people, even in an assisted care facility. Steve, the third thing that you could do, and you might need to involve your elders in this, but you, sir, are an elder saint. You're a senior saint. That means you've got wisdom, and we want it. Young people need it. That means you can dole it out. Let your elders know, I'm willing to sit down with young people and talk to them and counsel them and listen to them and help them and pray with them and teach them, for instance, how to read the Bible, how to study better, how to handle their finances, whatever skill it is that you could download to them, ask if you could still be involved. And then you can be doing ministry. Now, having said all of that, Steve, if because of your physical limitations, I think prayer, if nothing else, prayer is something that you can continue to do, but war against not letting your soul be withered, because the Lord understands. He knows your limitations. He knows them. And while perhaps it's withering because you want to exercise your gifts, please don't include in that withering a sense of guilt or shame because you're not able to do those things. And if I could toss this in, a Friel, apparently you're going to. Does your church involve seniors? Do you make an effort to do that? We are starting to do that more this fall. And we've even got two ways that your church might be able to do the exact same thing, because it is a tragedy the way that we've got this segregation model inside of churches. You got senior ministries, you got young marrieds, you got singles, at high school, and they're all separate. And guess what? They all have gifts, they all have skills, they all have strengths that could be exercised better if church life were done in an integrated fashion. Would you like that for your church? I'll share with you how we are doing that at Alpharetta Bible Church next on Wretched Radio.
Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool, it's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. Think about it. Two scientists can look at the exact same data and walk away with opposite conclusions because each one brought a different worldview to the table. Science also leans on a few things it can't prove: that the universe stays orderly, and that our minds can actually grasp truth. Both make the most sense if a rational God made it all. You take him out of the picture and you're left trusting that chaos somehow adds up. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org. Have you ever wanted to take a tour of Europe, but you couldn't swing the airfare? Good news! Todd Friel's already gone for you. Our resource on the Shoulders of Giants takes you across six countries to meet your Christian ancestors, the Reformers, the men who were strangled, quartered, and burned alive so you could hold a Bible in your own language and understand the gospel of grace. You'll see the stake where Jan Hus was burned to death, the prison where William Tyndale translated scripture, the very courtroom where John Wycliffe was called monstrously wicked. You'll visit Martin Luther's home, the field where George Whitefield preached to 30,000 people without a microphone, and the outdoor pulpit of the thundering Scot himself, John Knox. These people were too good for this world, and their lives will challenge you to be bolder than ever before. On the Shoulders of Giants, it is streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. Honestly, most of it sounds pretty good until you realize it's just self-help slapped with Bible verses. That's not the same thing as biblical wisdom. And that's why we at Fortis Institute present to you The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Libby is an ACBC certified biblical counselor, and she's not just interested in giving you coping strategies. No, Libby's desire is to take you to scripture and show you what God actually says about the things that you're actually walking through. And this is the kind of content our gospel partners are making possible. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dissonance. I'm experiencing internal dissonance in here. Somebody help me. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I'm flummoxed.
Flummoxed.
That's right, I'm flummoxed. Yeah.
That's a good word.
I'm flummoxed. Okay, are you tighter today than you were before you got saved? In other words, are you more frugal now than you were when you were a pagan?
Absolutely.
Me too. Yeah. I was frugal then. I'm like squeak right now when it comes to money. There's another thing that you don't really want to know, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. When I talk, I spit a lot. Friel, did we really? Hey, this is my cry for help. Please hear me. So here's the deal. We did some shuffling around here of equipment. So Jimmy, he's whining about needing new equipment after 10 years. So we got some new equipment, and then we kind of did a rearranging of the furniture here. So we took a lovely table from a different set and brought it in here to the radio studio. Before, I didn't care that I spit all over that cheap table that I was using, but this table is nice. So Jimmy, it just dawned on me as I'm sitting here talking, I'm spitting all over this beautiful table. I can't spit on it because it's ruining. I'm ruining a table, and it hurts my Jack Benny like heart. But if I don't talk, it's dead air. But maybe I think we could all affirm. Maybe I should just zip it.
So it bothers
save the table.
It bothers you that you're spitting on the table, which actually answers a question for me. You don't even realize you did this, but after our equipment shuffle, I asked you about cutting holes in that table to hide some wires.
No.
And the look you gave me, you didn't even answer. You just looked at me and I thought, why is he looking at me like that? Makes sense now.
You couldn't cut a hole in this lovely table.
Yeah, I understand now.
We used it on a TV set. And I don't know if you can't really hear that, but it's solid. It's one of those tables where it's like, it's like one of those farmhouse tables. Mm. It's lovely. And I know you can't see it, but I know I'm spitting all over it and I'm dying a little bit on the inside. If you can help me with my flummoxation, my flummoxing, my conundrum, 877-282-2337. And here perhaps is a solution to your conundrum. If your local church is not integrating generations, I have two things that you might want to ponder. One of them I've mentioned before, and that is a software that Brian is developing. Greg's helping him from our church. He's helping him to create a software for your church website that will allow you to list that people can have their profile and say, here's all the things I'm willing to help with. And so if somebody needs help with it, they can just go there, find it, and boink, they get put together. Not a program. It's just helping people to do ministry and life together. So I wrote, for instance, a bunch of things that could be listed there. So if you've got a profile there, here's all the things that you could possibly list, which means then if somebody goes to the website and they search for one of these things, your name is going to pop up and you can help them. And this will help intergenerationally. I think you'll pick that up as I read this list, that you're willing to, for instance, mentor young fathers in biblical leadership and provision, disciple young women, teach young mothers practical homemaking skills, invite younger believers into your home for hospitality, help young adults learn budgeting and debt avoidance, teach basic car maintenance and home repair skills, pray regularly with younger church members one-on-one, help younger believers learn how to study scripture, invite young couples into your home to model and discuss faithful marriage. Okay, it goes on and on and on. You get the point. And that way, if somebody's younger and they're needing wisdom, they go to the little software dealy bob, boink, your name pops up and you get together. I love that. Why? Because there is a treasure of wisdom in seniors. Gray hair shouts, we know a lot of stuff. We got a lot of wisdom up here. Want any? And this will allow the generations to integrate. Here's another way to do it. We're becoming a little bit more intentional, if you will, a little bit more organized with some of the different, I don't want to undermine what I'm saying here, identifying groups that can get together to benefit from one another because they also share like interests. So to have a senior ministry, to have a young marrieds ministry, and to have a single young adult ministry. And you say, well, wait a second, you're segregating. Well, yes, we are. That isn't necessarily a crime that they get together because of like-mindedness and like interest. But here's how we're making it integrated. If you are, let's just say, the young marrieds, the encouragement is whatever event that you do this month with your group, whether it's getting together for a barbecue, you want to go bowling together, whatever it is, you get together, but invite a senior, better yet, a senior couple to come to the group and spend 15 minutes talking about a subject. This is what I've learned about arguing with my wife, for instance. This is what I've learned about how to have peace in the home. This is what I learned about. And just share it, informal, share it. People can ask questions and then the senior can go on their way. That's integrating the groups. And it's downloading the wisdom from the senior into the younger marrieds so that they can grow and have wisdom. It'll bless the youth and it'll bless the senior. And maybe you're saying to yourself, well, then who comes to the senior group? A young person. Young person can teach a senior something too, you know. They can share, hey, this is what's going on with our generation. Hey, if you didn't know, this is what it's like at university these days. And that way the generations are helping one another. It's not like this is your clique, that's my clique, and ne'er the twain shall meet. No, they are integrated. So maybe, just maybe, those sort of things that perhaps if you find value in them, you could integrate in your church. Because while I think it's perfectly fine to have different groups, to keep them apart all the time, I just think both parties lose. That's all. Just both parties lose. I can't wait to hear the sweet stories that come out of it. Can't wait. If you're older, you're an older saint, can you just imagine what this would feel like? Somebody who's 28 approaches you. Hey, we're doing this young marrieds thing, and we know that you've been married for like 40 years. Would you be willing to come and talk to us about how you were able to be married for 40 years? Oh, how honoring is that? And you know what? How smart is that? It's like this, to not do this, in my estimation, get ready, Jimmy, I'm going to try an illustration. It would be like a poor person walking by a wheelbarrow full of cash and not availing themselves of the money that's sitting there. There it is. There's the wisdom in your church. There's everything you need to know about marriage right there. Well, we don't want to integrate the two because it's so easy. Just put them together. And let both parties be blessed. 877-282-2337 on Mailbag Week. I'm Wretched.
This is from Dakota, a text from Dakota. Todd, I strongly disagree with how my church spends money. Millions are spent on renovations and loans are being taken out for new sound systems. I want to stop tithing to my church and start giving to Christian nonprofits instead. But I'm torn in that not tithing to my church, which is an SBC church. I feel like you should tithe to your church. And so, but what I'm saying is I don't trust the elders appointed over me. So I really don't know what to do.
Why don't you trust them? That's the key to this conversation, because somebody could advise, well, ask to see the books, see how they're spending the money. I wouldn't take that tact. And my question, I think, if I could make it even more pointed, do you not trust them because you don't like the way they're spending money, or do you not trust them because of a character defect? There's a huge difference, because if you've made the decision, I don't trust them because I don't like their spending habits, I personally would encourage you to jettison that thinking, because I'm going to suggest something. Now, please note, if you ever really think that your elders are just spending money, like this is kooky, do you have the right as a congregational member to ask them to see the books? Absolutely, you do. You can take a look at them. Now, having said that, I think it is better to assess their character. Are these godly men in general? Have you been there long enough to notice and observe that these guys, they love the Lord, they love their families, they love the church, they're trying hard? Because if you recognize that those elders are meeting the qualifications of being an elder, then I would encourage you to trust their spending decisions. Trust them. Don't base your trust on how they're spending the money. Base your trust on their character and then trust that they're spending the money rightly. Now, yes, please note, I already gave the caveat. You do have the right to ask about the books if you have some concern. That's fine, but I would still encourage you, don't make your assessment of the elders based on how they spend the dough. Make it based on how you see them interacting with the church, how they behave in front of the congregation, how much time they sacrifice for others, how they treat other people in the congregation. Assess that. And then I know this might be hard. If you've got elders that are godly and they're trying, they're not going to spend every penny perfectly. Hopefully they don't spit all over the radio desk, but you can trust them and you can rest in that and not have to fret, knowing that you don't give money to a church, you're giving your money to the Lord. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.